Is this really all there is? Is this the best my life has to offer? I can't believe that this is what it's come to. I remember thinking and asking myself these questions every day for a long, long time. When I was 34 years old, 10 years ago, I was living in Memphis, Tennessee, working as the rabbi of a congregation. The job was hard. My marriage was falling apart. I was falling apart. And on the outside, I looked like I was happy and healthy and always willing to give to others. But on the inside, I didn't know what I needed to do in order to find any spark of joy again. I was seeing a therapist at the time who said that I should go to a week-long healing retreat, a place called Onsite outside of Nashville, the Healing Trauma Program. And I thought, it's possible I have some trauma to think about. But I didn't really want to go because I knew that if I went, I'd have to face some issues that I wasn't sure I knew how to handle. But I decided to be brave, to be bold, to take the chance. And without telling anyone from the community, I went for a week of vacation. 9 of us and a therapist in a room for a week. I remember being so nervous and scared at the beginning. Who are these strange people? Well, at least I don't have their problems. But was I really going to be safe enough to share my own? What would they make me think about? What would they have me do? I had never been in such a healing environment before. Because in the houses I grew up in, the healing environment was the closest amount of sugar one could consume. As it turns out, not entirely healing. And so to this retreat I went, and I went into this room, and the therapist begins by introducing herself, and she hands out these big pieces of poster board and markers, and she says, "I want you to draw your trauma history." And unlike everyone else in the room, I started to laugh. And I raised my hand and I said, "How much time do we have, and can I have a second sheet of paper, please?" Because growing up for the child of a rabbi in a dysfunctional marriage that my parents had for more years than were healthy, my dad was the rabbi of 10 different synagogues in 10 different communities, and my mother had all sorts of medical things, including 5 rounds of cancer and 2 liver transplants, and to say that there was some trauma that I never had space to talk about was a bit of an understatement. She told me that I could draw in small print and use the backside of the paper, which I did. I learned that week that it turns out that the more adverse childhood experiences one has, the greater the likelihood that someone will find some maladaptive coping strategies that might have been helpful to get you through the difficult times, but then become unhelpful when you can't stop doing them. And I learned that week that there were multiple addictions that I didn't even know that I had going into that room. And the Band-Aid was ripped off. And I learned that I had a lot of work to do. And I've spent the last 10 years doing it and now helping others do the same. We were asked before we came to bring a picture of our young selves so that we could spend some time connecting with our inner child. Okay. I found a picture. I brought it with me. And I found myself, most of the time, staring down at my younger self in this frame. I was cute. I was happy. I was thin. What happened? And how did I go from cute, happy, and thin to me? Where did the joy go? Thank you. I appreciate it. So are you. We did a few meditations with our inner children to try to incorporate some new healing connection, to give ourselves some love that perhaps we had never had the tools to do before. So I'm sitting there looking at myself in the picture frame, and I have to tell you, it didn't work. I couldn't connect. What does it mean to connect to your inner child? Like, where are they? And is that why I'm so heavy? Like, what happens? How does this work? And I found myself staring at myself, but there was a block there, and I just couldn't relate in some way. Now, the week was incredibly powerful. It changed my life in so many ways, got me into recovery, helped me begin cracking open the many layers of the onion of trauma that I had. I learned that it wasn't my fault that I had found any tool that I could to get myself through one more day. That was incredibly healing and helpful, and still is. But why can't I connect with my inner self? Why am I blocked here? It was in a little frame. There was glass. There was wood. A little metal around the sides. On the back of the frame, there was a piece of paper taped to the back of the picture that was holding the picture in place. And I still don't exactly know why I did this, but I was fiddling with the frame at one point during that week of healing. And I took off the outer edge, and I took off the glass, and I took off the piece of paper in the back. And then I saw it. One name. One name written on the back of the picture in my mother's handwriting. One name. Avi, my brother. And I thought to myself, well, you know you're in trouble when your inner child is somebody else. Healing takes many forms. Sometimes we need a laughter. Sometimes we need a picture of someone else to remind ourselves that we don't have to be somebody else. I started that week to learn about who I was. Thankfully, I can laugh at that story. Thankfully, there's been a lot of beautiful healing work. And that week really opened up my life's journey and brought many miracles into the process. Today, I'm the dad of a four-month-old. He's cuter than I am, by a long shot, and wonderful. I sing to him every single day. My wife and I share with him how much he's loved. We want him to grow up in a house where he knows who he is, and he knows that whoever he can be, whoever he will become, he will always be a gift to us, no matter what. That week of healing was really profound. I've done a lot since then. There's still some more to go. There's always more work to do. But today, 10 years later, I'm happy to report that my inner child is fully my own. Thank you.